6. Excuse me, 2 Kings chapter 6. Spent so much time in Corinthians. Second Kings chapter 6. Hallelujah. This word's going to bless you. I know that for sure. 2 Kings chapter 6. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 8. I'm just going to kind of recap where I preached a few weeks ago. My message tonight is the killer instinct of faith. The killer instinct of faith. A few weeks ago, I preached the power of vision. What you see is what you get. But I'm telling you, you need a killer instinct on your faith. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6 and starting in verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass to such and such a place, for there the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel went to the place where the man of God told and warned him of, not and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called to his servants and said, "Which of you is for the king of Israel?" In verse 12, his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may fetch him." And he told him it was in Dothan. In verse 14, they sent their horses, chariots, and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host encamped the city, compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for those that be with us are more than those that be with them." And Elisha, verse 17, prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. And when they came down, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray, Lord, with boldness, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And then you can read down the rest of the story, how Elisha misled them into the land and to the king of Israel and actually befriended the enemy. And it's a type and a shadow of evangelism, how God wins the lost, that God does not display his power. He doesn't do mighty works so that he can hurt and condemn the lost, but he does mighty works. He displays his power to win the lost and bring them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so the story progresses. Let's just bump down into verse 24. This is where we stopped last time. "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria." I believe that this was a different king. You see, the king of Syria earlier on in verse 9 had attacked the kingdom of Israel, but God worked a great and mighty victory. God is not short of power. God can work a great and mighty victory if we will see into the realm of the Spirit. As I preached a few weeks ago, what you see is what you get. You have got to fight for what you see. That's my first point tonight. The killer instinct of faith fights for what it sees. It sees only into the realm of the Spirit. And you have to make a decision with your faith that you are only going to see what the Word of God has to say and what the Spirit of God has to say about your life. Because when the storm starts to rage and things start to go wrong, I'm telling you, everything around you is going to look terrible, and your flesh is going to want to look at everything. Your flesh is going to want to look at the doctor's report. Your flesh is going to want to look at what the banker says. Your flesh is going to want to look at what your boss says. But I'm telling you, God has a word for you. God has a plan in the realm of the Spirit that will not die. His word never dies for you. It never fades away. The grass withereth and the flower fades, but God's word stands forever. It never perishes. It never dies. Hallelujah. And God has a word for you, but you have to see it. The killer instinct of faith fights for what it sees. I'm telling you, faith does not work by looking in the realm of the natural at all of the trouble that you see. Our ministry put out a newsletter, and one of the questions I put on there is, how do I have faith when all I see is trouble? And the answer to that is, you don't have faith when all you see is trouble, because you're seeing the wrong thing. You have the killer instinct of faith is going to change what it sees by looking at the Word. And you have to get intense about what you see in the Word of God. You have to get intense about what goes through your mind and comes out of your mouth on a daily basis. I'm telling you, do not let go of the promise of God that He has put in your heart to prosper. Do not let go of the promise that God has put in your heart for increase in your family. Whatever you're believing God for, and do not let go of the promise that God has put in your heart for health and divine healing in your body. You've got to focus on what God has told you. If the devil can distract you, the whole purpose of what the devil was trying to do here when he surrounded Elisha and his servant Gehazi was not to try to kill them with the sword. It was to try to steal Elisha's faith. Now, the king of Syria thought, well, the purpose here, I'm just going to surround him in the realm of the natural because nobody can stop my army. Two guys, they can't stop my army. That's what a man or a woman in the realm of the natural thinks. And if the devil can pull you over into that realm, then he has you beat. But Satan's had a different plan with what he was doing with the king and the army of Syria, and that was to steal and attack Elisha's faith. Satan was vying for what Elisha saw. Elisha would not relent from looking into the realm of the Spirit. And your killer instinct of faith, if you are going to see what God has for you, if you're going to break through into everything that God has for you, if you're going to see the increase in your life, then your faith has to have a killer instinct. And it starts right there with what you are looking at. You have got to change what you're looking at. If what you're looking at is causing fear and doubt and concern, then you are looking at the wrong thing. Just make it real simple. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. The Lord has a litmus test for you and for me. Galatians chapter 6. Excuse me, chapter 5. And start in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me read that again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if what you are looking at causes these things, then you are looking at the right thing. If what you are looking at causes fear, then you are looking at the wrong thing. Well, David, what am I supposed to do about my physical body and the doctor's report? You know, I've got to figure this out. Look, let me tell you, God is not stupid. One thing you got to understand is that God is not super spiritual. He created this carnal world. He created the flesh that you have, the physical body that you have. He knows the answer to what you need. He knows, he has a higher answer. I believe this is a word from God for many of you tonight. He has a higher answer for you than what you're aware of. God has a higher answer for you than what you're aware of. His thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are His plans your plans. God has a higher answer than what you're aware of. And you have got to get a hold of what God's answer is for your life. And because the natural mind wants to start piecing things together and say, well, if I'm going to get from A to Z, then I've got to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so forth and so on. But God can have you go from A to G and then to P and then to Z. He may have a different plan for how you're going to get there. Even if you have a bad doctor's report, the Lord may have a different plan on how you're going to get there. We did a crusade in Denton several years ago. And this is a real interesting situation. We did a 5-day soul winning and healing crusade. And the church that was, one of the churches that was sponsoring the crusade, I had preached a Sunday morning service there. And after the service, I was actually feeling sick myself. And I gave a healing line. And it was about a good hour that I prayed for people. And it was just about every single person that I prayed for was healed. I mean, it was powerful. Almost every single person I prayed for was healed. But when we started the crusade, the first night, nobody came forward for healing. And I'm standing up there thinking, what in the world is going on? There was a stronghold against healing and against the power of God that we had to deal with. And there was actually one of the nights that took place. There was a young man that came from a local football team there, a public high school that played on the football, on the team. And he had a broken rib from practice, and he couldn't practice. And God healed his rib right there. But this happened after the service. God healed his rib, and I'm up there hitting him in the ribs. I mean, hard. Wasn't a little pretty tap. I mean, I was like really slapping him, and his ribs were completely and instantly healed. But we saw miracles take place, but there was a stronghold of the devil that came against the miracles in the service because the devil didn't want God to be glorified. And I began to realize what was going on, and so I fasted, and we broke through that thing and had and awesome miracles begin to take place. And there was an elderly lady that came on the final night of the crusade, and her family, she actually had to sneak out of the hospital because the doctors are not going to feed you faith. The doctors are going to feed you the fear and the report, and you can't. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot take the doctor's word on every single thing that they tell you about your physical body. You've got to take God's word on every single thing that it tells you about your physical body. And God knows the mixture and the balance. He knows what you need to do because, yeah, I understand the doctors are going to help. Because not everybody's faith is developed to the point where you can just believe God for your healing, you know, get run over by a Mack truck. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And then you just stand up like Wile E. Coyote, you know. In the cartoons when he blows up his thumb, he just got run over by a freight train and he's laying there flat and he's like, you know, have you seen the cartoons? You just raise your hand and say amen, or I'm going to start playing cartoons up here just to make sure. You know, not everybody has that kind of faith. Wile E. Coyote had that kind of faith, but not you may not have that kind of faith like if you got run over by a truck where you can say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, and bones just start popping back into place. I mean, you may be at a place where you need the doctor, but God knows exactly what balance of the doctor's word and that you need to have and understand and what you just need to flat out reject. So I'm not speaking against doctors. But this lady had to escape from the hospital because her family didn't believe in divine healing, but she was an older saint and she did. I'm telling you, as I've traveled around, I've seen a lot of older saints that went through the Voice of Healing revival in the 50s and the 60s, and they're telling me their faith is hard, rock solid. So she snuck out and came to this crusade service that night, and she was healed. I mean, it was a real, real big healing. And we had her, I can't remember what all the symptoms were, but I had her walking around and jogging around, and she was testifying and praising God. But she had to go back into the hospital and to make a long story short, her family and her doctor and everybody started pressing her and said, oh, you can't do that. You're not healed. And they begin to speak different words to her. And her faith, she just didn't exercise the faith to hold on to her healing. And although she was running around and everything, a week later when we were tearing down the crusade set, I overheard somebody else talking about the situation. And they said that she was back in the hospital and in similar circumstances that she was before because the faith was weak. You see, you have to have your eyes focused on the Word of God. Even after you receive your healing, you can't just give in to any and every single little symptom that comes across your body. You received your healing by faith in the Word of God, and you keep your healing by faith in the Word of God. You received your miracle of finances by faith in the Word, and you maintain financial prosperity by faith in the Word. Just because to get a financial breakthrough, just because you gave and you sowed incredible seed in order to see that financial breakthrough take place, and then you finally got the breakthrough, that doesn't mean that you can just all bets are off now. Praise God, I don't have to tithe and give because I done got my breakthrough. You can't just walk back into whatever the natural world has to offer you. You got to hold on to your faith. You have to have the killer instinct of faith fights for what it sees. Your fight starts right there. I'm telling you, even after you've received a little bit of breakthrough, you've still got to focus on the Word and keep your eyes set like a flint on what God's Word has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you're going to maintain victory. Hallelujah. The killer instinct of faith fights for what it sees. That's the first thing that Satan wanted to do to try to stop Elisha is change what he was seeing. He threw every piece of artillery and every soldier that he had in the realm of the natural against Elisha. And I don't know how the devil can get his hands on so many assets in the natural realm, but I'm telling you, he may do that to you sometimes, to where it's like every single, if there's anybody in your family that could have said something wrong, they all said it on Friday. And if the banker could have had a bad report, it came on Friday. And if the doctor had a bad report, it came through on Friday. And all of a sudden, everything, it's in the same day, it's like Elisha. And the devil is not... Well, the devil is not trying to stop you with the bad report by what was taking place in the natural. He's vying for what you are looking at, because he knows if he can get your vision off of the Word of God, then your faith will not work anymore. Amen. The killer instinct of faith fights for what it sees. You have got to fight. You have got to have a bulldog instinct and a bulldog grip on the Word of God. And you cannot let anything else come in. Because the Word of God talks about the eyes of your understanding in Ephesians. The eyes of your understanding. So when your vision, what you see is not just your physical eyes. You can be laying in bed asleep. You could have just watched some awesome preaching on television or on internet live stream and been fed with the Word. You can go to sleep and close your eyes. And then you begin to dwell on fear. And you begin to dwell on, how are we going to take care of the finances? You know, and you're going to begin to dwell on, I know this guy is going to do me wrong. I'm in this relationship. I know it. And then before you know it, you've been laying in bed for an hour. And you've been sowing fear. And you've been imagining something that hasn't happened yet. And you fully believe and have faith that so-and-so fool daddy that hasn't done anything bad yet is going to do it. And then you already know and are planning your response to what you're going to say to that jerk once he says and does what he does, and that the and what you're going to say to the boss, because you know the boss is going to do that. And you're off in this realm of imagination, and what has happened is the eyes of your understanding, what you see, even though your physical eyes are closed, what you see has been completely derailed, and then your faith has been totally shot, and your faith is actually working in reverse. How many of you have experienced that before, when your faith all of a sudden, and you have to rattle yourself, like, oh my gosh, I've got more faith in this cold turning into deadly cancer than I do the Word of God. You can literally be sitting there, laying there in bed, and after about an hour of dwelling on that, you're like, you don't even realize that you have to snap yourself and come to, like, I'm sitting here thinking this cold is going to be cancer, a killer cancer, but within a month and I'm going to be dead. I mean, that's what can happen when you start to dwell on those things. Amen. See, what is so bad about fear is not what caused you to fear. It is what Satan is trying to get you to do as a result of the fear. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me say it again and give you another chance. What is so bad about fear is not what caused you to fear, like the bad report from the doctor. You've got to understand this. What is so bad about the fear is not what caused you to fear. It's not what the doctor said that was a bad report. It's not what the banker said that was a bad report. What is so bad about fear is not what your boss said or the strife that somebody got into with you at work that looks like it's going to cause you trouble. That's not what's so bad about fear. What's so bad about fear is what you might do as a result of that fear report. Hallelujah. You've got to understand that if you change what you're doing because of the fear, if you change what you're doing because of what you see, then the devil has you beat. But I'm telling you, a killer instinct of faith is going to latch on to what the Word of God has to say. And I'm telling you, I want you to get a hold of this right now, that you have to fight for what the eyes of your understanding are looking at. You have to fight for what the eyes of your heart are dwelling on. So when you close your physical eyes, you have to fight for what's going through your mind. You have to take every single thought captive by the Word, according to the Word, and rebuke all the bad stuff and take authority over all that. You have to fight for what you see. That is the fight of faith. If you start trying to fight faith while you're looking at the wrong thing, I'm telling you, you're fighting the wrong fight, and you're not going to win that fight. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not going to win that fight. I want to shake you up tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to wake you up tonight. Yes. Somebody wake him up tonight. Shake him up. Wake him up tonight. Hallelujah. I want to shake you up tonight. I want to wake you up tonight. Amen. You've got to fight for what you're seeing. The devil has deceived so many people and told them that the fight of faith takes place by you looking in the realm of the natural and looking at this thing. And you can even be praying some scripture, but you're just totally focused on the problem. And I'm telling you, you can have fear-based prayer and it's not going to get you anywhere. You have got the first fight of faith, the first step of faith at the killer instinct is you've got to take your eyes off of that garbage that you're looking at and put your eyes on the Word. Hallelujah. You have to make that decision because faith will not work while you're looking at the wind and the waves. Faith is easy when you have your eyes on Jesus. It's impossible when you don't. That's the first step of faith. The killer, and it's a killer instinct. I'm not in sports anymore, and when I wasn't awesome. So just don't misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. But one thing that I knew is that to win, you had to be able to hold it together in the last few minutes of the game. Because a lot of people, and you see this in the NFL, a lot of teams can be awesome. They can go, you know, like almost a perfect record through the regular season, but they don't have the guts and the focus to make it deep into the playoffs. And in come the conference finals, they just fall apart like a $2 watch because they don't have the focus. It's one thing to be good in the regular season. It's a whole other thing to be good in the playoffs. Because that's where it gets to the point where it's not about talent and it's not about physical ability. It's about how strong is your focus. Amen. And I learned that playing sports. I realized I got to learn how to keep my focus and not be rattled. I can't lose my focus. And the devil wants to vie for your focus. He wants to pull it off of those things. But that's the killer instinct, is that it's not going to let go of what it sees. Your focus has to be on your victory. It has to be on the Word. Elisha refused to look into the realm of the natural. He saw in the realm of the Spirit greater. So I want to ask you tonight, what in regards to your life has God given you in the realm of the Spirit? You should know that right off the top of your head, just like that. Because I want you to know, before you enter into any storm, before you enter into any trouble, God has already spoken. Amen. God doesn't wait for the bad report from the doctor to start speaking and playing catch up. God's not playing catch up with a banker. God is not playing catch up with any doctor. Hallelujah. God has already spoken to you a word. He has already told you somewhere along the line what the plan is. If nothing else, you have it here in His Word. So what do you have in the Spirit from God? Amen. You should know that just right off the top of your head. And you've got to hold on to that. That's the killer instinct. That's what separates the men from the boys. When you reach the Super Bowl, that's what separates the team that's more talented that loses to a team that has less talent, but they have greater focus because they have that killer instinct. Amen. And they won't be moved. I'm telling you, it just comes down to a decision. It just comes down to flat out saying, I refuse to look at that stuff. I refuse to acknowledge that has a place in my heart. I refuse to believe what I see in the realm of the natural above what the Word of God says. It's a simple decision that you make that says, God is enough for me. God's supply and God's provision is enough. Hallelujah. The reason you're looking at the wrong thing in the realm of the natural is because there's doubt in your heart. But I want to tell you right now, you can change your heart right there in the middle of the storm. You can change it right there. And it's a decision that you make. You can have doubt in your heart and it's pulling you to look at the wind and the waves. But you can remember what David King preached, what Pastor Bob preached, and start to look at Jesus and look at the Word. And I'm telling you, that doubt, you starve your doubt and you feed your faith. And right there walking on the water, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to rise up putting your eyes on Jesus, because you just have to make a decision right there. Praise God. It's not too late for your faith to grow. Faith can grow in an instant. I've seen that in so many healing lines. I've seen people that, and I sometimes in healing ministry and crusades or healing services, I'll do this on purpose. I'll pray for people with minor ailments first. Because I know there's some people there with major problems that need to get healed. But I can feel that their faith might be a little shaky. So I'll pray for minor ailments. Pray for my tongue right now. I'll pray for minor ailments first. Because I know that's going to build people's faith. And faith grows in an instant. You may think, David, I'm out on the water. It's already too late. I'm sinking. I can't do this. It's too late. I just want out. Your faith can grow in an instant. Put your eyes on Jesus. You've got to fight for what you see. The killer instinct fights for what it sees. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. The killer instinct of faith fights for what it sees. The second thing is the killer instinct has boldness. Amen. The killer instinct has boldness. Elisha here was bold. When he blinded the eyes of that entire army, he was bold about it. And later on, let's just continue reading. Elisha was bold. In chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Then Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria.' Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned said, answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, would this happen?' And he said, 'Behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat thereof.'" And then you can read on about the four lepers, how God used these four lepers to sound like an army and wrought a mighty victory. But previously then, the king of Syria had sent his men to come and kill Elisha. And he already knew, but he didn't care. He just sat back and prophesied the word of God. Your boldness has to come out of your mouth. It's got to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. You've got to speak it to somebody. You cannot see a mighty move of God. You can't see a mighty victory take place in your life. You want to see God's miracle working power? You have to get bold about what God has spoken to you, and you have to say it out of your mouth so that somebody else hears it. You have to get bold about it. And the devil's going to tell you, well, you can't do that because so-and-so prophesied and nothing happened. Well, you're just going to be one of those super spiritual snowflakes that has all kinds of weird stuff to say and nothing ever happens. But you've got to get over the religious attack and get bold. I'm telling you, the killer instinct of faith is bold about what it believes. What are you believing God for? As I asked a few minutes ago, what is the thing in the spirit that God has given to you? What is the thing in the spirit that God has told you? You've got to get bold about it. I'm telling you right now, there are people in your life that need to hear what God has spoken to you. And it's not everybody all the time. You can talk to Joseph about that and share in his dreams. It's not everybody all the time. But there are people in your life that need to hear what God has spoken to you. And you've got to be bold about that. You can't be timid and shy, because through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word. It takes boldness to speak the Word. It takes boldness when everybody just sees an army of the Syrians surrounding you all over the place. Everywhere you look, you see trouble. It takes boldness to be totally undisturbed and speak something totally opposite of what you see in the realm of the natural. Boldness, when you have heard from God, will get you speaking something totally opposite of what you see in the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. You've got to be bold about it. Somebody has to hear what God has spoken to you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen tonight. People need to hear about it. Hallelujah. People have got to hear about it. There's so many times in my ministry traveling around that God has spoken to me something, and I knew that we were going to do this, and I stepped out in faith, and I'm telling you, I said stuff that if other people around me knew what the real situation was, they would have called me a liar. Has anybody ever stepped out in faith like that? I did this twice with a tent in 2010 in East Texas. I had pictures, I had a video drawn up. Golly. I had a video, promotional video, that I was showing pastors. Anybody have a cough drop? Somebody stuck one in my pocket last week. I had a video that I was showing pastors, and on this video I had a clip of healings taking place, and I had a clip in there of a big tent that I did not own. And I sat down with five or six pastors all over East Texas and showed them this video. And I'm like, we're doing this crusade, and we're going to put up a tent. I didn't tell them we're putting up our tent, because that would have been a lie, because I didn't own one yet. But I'm like, we're putting up a tent, and we're doing this. And I'm sitting down in pastors' meetings. I rented out a little boardroom at a coffee shop, and with probably five or six pastors there, and showed them this video. And this cough drop getting stuck in my mouth. Show them this video. And I'm telling you, it's crazy. But I had no tent. And the tent that I was showing them wasn't like a little Home Depot gardening tent. I mean, you can't get on Craigslist and spend $100 and get this tent. Amen. And I was believing God for a tent. And God supplied a tent. Mike Barber's ministry, actually, his assistant there came and volunteered. And I'm telling you, their ministry came out and moved their tent from here in Dallas-Fort Worth area all the way out to Tyler and helped set it up. But I had sat down with pastors and actually showed them this video that we had a tent that we didn't have. I'm like, we're going to do a crusade. And we did a crusade, and the tent that we actually did the crusade in was bigger than the tent that I had showed them in the video. See, I was bold about it. You got to be crazy. That's what I said a few weeks ago. Your faith has to get to the point where it's more logical for the miracle to happen than it is for it to not happen. You have to be bold about what you believe. If I hadn't have been bold about that with all of those churches and told them we're doing a crusade in a tent and shown them pictures of a tent that I didn't own. It was a mock-up. It was a graphic design. I'm serious, that I did in Photoshop. And they're looking at this tent and they're all on board, and it worked. I'm telling you, but you got to be bold about it. The killer instinct of faith is bold. What are you doing about what God has spoken to you? If you are afraid to speak it, then you don't believe it enough. If you are afraid to speak it, then you don't believe it enough. You got to get back to the place where you believe what God has spoken to you. You may feel like, I don't have the faith for this. I'm telling you, you step out on the water, it doesn't really matter how much faith you have. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, it's going to work. But you got to be bold. There was another time in Little Rock, Arkansas in 2012 where I did the same thing, except for this time. I was telling them that we were going to own this thing. Like, this is our tent. And we didn't have a tent. I needed $10,000, and the crusade was in like 2 weeks. And God supplied all the money supernaturally. I mean, it is a crazy story. But we showed up in Little Rock 2 days before the crusade was scheduled to start with a tent that I had told all these churches in town that we are buying a tent. I'm like, it's coming in, and we're going to set this up. And I had pictures. I had the video, the promo video. Sat down with all these pastors and showed them everything. I'm like, here's the tent. We're setting it up over there. We went through the city. We got our permits reserved. We had a rental lease with the land. We had everything in place, and I still didn't have a tent. And I remember sitting down a few weeks before that with Dan and Ashley. They asked me over their house for dinner, and he started asking about the ministry. And I told Dan, well, this is what we're doing. And I'm like, I need a tent. And he's like, how much money do you need? And I said, I need $10,000 in about 2 weeks. And Dan like dropped his fork or something like that. He's like, David, you do the biggest faith things of anybody I've ever heard of. I can't believe this. I mean, it just blew his mind. But God provided. But it was because I was bold about it. I wasn't going to be shy. I'm telling you, when God has told me something, I'm going to be bold about it. Because I've made a decision that I'm going to look at what He has promised, and I'm going to be bold about it. You can't just see it and have a lot of faith stirred up in you. At some point, it has got to move your mouth. At some point, it has to move your mouth. I'm telling you, you can be too quiet about the things of God. I got to be reverent. I got to be silent and quiet. And if God's going to do something, then pastor's got to prophesy it 3 times and throw salt over his shoulder, and then I'll know that it's the will of God. No, you got to be bold about what God has told you. Hallelujah. You can't be quiet about it. God is going to respond to your boldness. God's response will equal your boldness. So what are you saying about what God has promised you? What are you saying about the things that He has showed you? What are you saying about what you see in the Spirit? Elisha spoke in boldness about what he saw in the realm of the Spirit. He wasn't shy about it. A lot of people right then will see, like Elisha, they'll see in the realm of the Spirit. They've got that step good. But they'll be afraid to say something in boldness. God can reveal things to you, and you know that a revival is going to come. And you know, or so you may know, that a book is going to take place. A DVD or a ministry or a business breakthrough is going to take place. But you were too shy and too scared of what other people think for it to come out your mouth. See, you can have the killer instinct of vision and fight for what you see and get revelation. God will reveal something to you. But if it doesn't come out of your mouth, that through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word. If the Word doesn't come out of your mouth, God can't frame your world with it. And it takes boldness, because every time you are speaking something that is not true in the realm of the natural. Amen. That is what boldness is. Boldness is speaking what is true in the supernatural that is not yet true in the realm of the natural. Boldness is speaking what is true in the realm of the supernatural, but is not yet true in the realm of the natural. That's boldness. But God is going to answer your boldness, and He is going to make it work. But you have to be bold about it. The killer instinct of faith. If you're going to fight and win the fight of faith, because I'm telling you, just because a trial has come in your life does not mean that, that it's just for granted that everything's going to be hunky-dory and you can just kind of throw a little prayer here and a little prayer there and everything's going to go great. Hallelujah. You got to get bold about it. The third thing about the killer instinct of faith is it presses in the Spirit. The killer instinct of faith presses in the Spirit. Now I'm going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. I'm actually not going to read there, but you know the story about how Elijah, the predecessor to Elisha, had prophesied that there will be, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, he went to Ahab. And he said, there will be neither dew nor rain these years except according to my word. That's bold right there, buddy. What a lot of religious people would have said, there will be dew nor rain these years except according to God's word. And what you've just done is put it all off on God. Well, God didn't ended up not saying anything, so I guess I didn't miss God. It was God's fault. You see what I'm saying? They'll put it off on God. People give a prophetic word and put it off on God. God is looking for people that have the faith to not just put it off on God, but to have the faith to say, there will be neither dew nor rain except according to my word. God is looking for people that have the faith to speak the word. And God, you see, there are times in the word when God did what he said. When Joshua spoke to the sun and the moon, to stop, it said that God heeded his word. God is looking for people that have a boldness on the inside of them to speak the word and that believe that it's going to come to pass, that God's word coming out of their mouth is going to come to pass because they spoke the word. Elijah said, there will be neither dew nor rain these years except according to my word. That's the killer instinct of boldness. You have to have that. But it's not over yet. You have to have the killer instinct to fight for what you see. And then you have to have the killer instinct of boldness to speak what you have seen. But you also have to have the killer instinct to press in to the Spirit. And this is where faith becomes like a fight. Faith is not just throwing a little thing over your shoulder. Faith is not just a little Hail Mary. Well, I'm believing God. A lot of people are, quote, believing God because 3 weeks ago when they got a bad report from the doctor, they just begin to say, well, I don't believe that. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And that's all they ever said. And they're like, quote, I'm believing God. But Elijah here in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19, he began to press into the Spirit. The word says that he began to pray and he told his servant to go up 7 times. And that Elisha put his head between his knees. In James 5:17, it says that Elisha was the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Even as Elijah prayed and it rained not on the earth for a space of many years. And then he prayed and the rain came. You see, Elijah pressed in the Spirit. He got a hold of it in the realm of the Spirit and he refused to let go of what God had given him. The killer instinct of faith is going to get a hold of it. It's going to see it. It's going to speak it in boldness, but it is going to refuse to let go. The devil's going to fight and try to push you. He's going to throw Syrians against you. He's going to try to surround you, but you got to hold on. That's why Elisha and his faith prevailed, because he refused to let go of what he saw in the realm of the Spirit. That's why Elijah could pray and stop the rain, and then he could pray again and bring the rain back, because he pressed in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The killer instinct of faith presses in the Spirit. Not too long ago, Riley was feeling really sick, and it had been going on. My goodness. Y'all got to shout louder. That way I won't have to preach so loud. Let me just bring this mic up right here. I don't lose my voice anywhere except Calvary Cathedral. We've been traveling and preaching. I haven't lost my voice anywhere else. I don't know what it is about this place. Elisha was sick. Riley was feeling really bad. And, you know, when you're married, this is something that I've learned. You feel the pain of your spouse. I mean, when your spouse is hurting, you feel it. And you know, not to say that this is why I fought the fight of faith, just because it made me hurt. But I love my wife. And I just got fed up. And so during the night, she was throwing up over and over. And I just got tired of it. And I just got up and left. And she was like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I'm going into the other room." And I went to the furthest room in the house to try to not wake her up. But I just pressed in the spirit. And I've done this before many times. It was like 1 a.m. And I got up and I went into the other room and I began to praise God. I began to jump up and down and shout because I was fed up with this thing trying to fight with me. You know, sometimes you speak the word and the devil leaves just like that. Sometimes you speak the word and sickness goes just like that. Sometimes you speak the word and sow a seed and financial breakthrough comes just like that. But other times it's like it's a wrestling match and you're pushing. But at that time you've got to press in the spirit. You can't give up and just say, "Well, I already prayed," and then just sit around in the realm of the natural and think everything's going to be great. You've got to keep pressing in the realm of the spirit. And that's what I did. That's what Elijah did when he brought the rain back. And I got into prayer and I just began to jump up and down. I said, "Lord, I rejoice. I thank you that Riley is healed. I rejoice in the grace of healing in her life. I rejoice that your word is true in her body. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, by your stripes she is healed." And I begin to dance around that room. I begin to jump up and down and shout. I begin to laugh in the spirit. Hallelujah. Just like Lene. I need to get a tape of you laughing and begin to play it. Like put it on my cell phone. I'm going to laugh in the spirit with Lene. I begin to laugh in the spirit and I begin to let joy rise up. Hallelujah. Because I was pressing in the spirit. That's the killer instinct of faith. It's going to press in the spirit. So just because you've seen something and just because you've been bold about it doesn't mean it's over yet. You got to press in the spirit until that thing breaks through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Barry, let me grab this mic here. You got to press in the spirit until that thing breaks through and not let go. That's the devil's going to push back sometimes. And I think sometimes the Lord is just waiting to see how bad you want it. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that God led them through the wilderness so that he could teach them to know that man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Sometimes God is going to hold back. He's going to wait. It's like when Lazarus died, Jesus deliberately didn't go and heal him from the sickness. He let the man die just so he could show them that he has power to raise them from the dead. Sometimes the Lord may tarry. He may hold back on your breakthrough because he's working something in you, but you've got to press in the spirit. Get a hold of that thing. And I'm telling you, if you're laying in bed at 2 a.m. with fearful thoughts, get out of bed and go to the other room and begin to jump up and down and shout and praise God. Open up the book of Psalms and find some praise in the book of Psalms. Open up the book of Psalms and begin to find some praise and worship and breakthrough. It says, "I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall." Praise God. And begin to pray those things and speak it. Press in the spirit. Hallelujah. And you're going to see that. That's the killer instinct of faith. That's how you destroy the stronghold of the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up right now and begin to press in the spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Press in the spirit and just praise him right now for a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless your name. We praise you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I see the killer instinct of faith on you right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. The killer instinct of faith. Hallelujah. 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 I see some people having some midnight prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for somebody right now. Just remain standing. If you're in this place and there is one doubt in your heart,
that your life is right with God. If there's any doubt in your heart, if you were to die right now, is there any doubt in your heart that you would go straight to heaven? Then I want to pray with you. If you do not know for sure, then you need to know for sure right now. Jesus has died on the cross. He rose from the dead for you. And I want to make sure with you tonight. There may be a second category of person here right now that you know that you're going to heaven, but you also know that your heart is not right with God. And I want to pray with you also. If you're in this place and you know there's something between you and Jesus, you feel like, David, I'm going to heaven, but there's something between me and God. I've been going with the wrong crowd, and I need to get my life right. Then God's speaking to your heart right now, and I want to pray with you and pray for you. If that's you in this place, I want you to raise your hand right now in Jesus' name so I can pray with you and pray for you. If you're one of those people, you don't know that you're going to heaven, or you know you're going to heaven, but you know your heart is not right with God and you need to get it right. Raise your hand in the air and wave it at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in this place, I want to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody in this place, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, it's time to get things right. Just raise your hand and wave it at me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to everybody. We just want to make sure every person here is right with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, I thank you for pressing in the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for people tonight that have the killer instinct of faith. I thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs in every single person here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not a single person, hallelujah, loses what you've given them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you grab your seat for just a minute?